Please be seated. In our first lesson today, God makes a covenant with Abram and his descendants. And in this covenant, God promises Abram will be the father of many generations, a multitude of nations, a people from whom kings will come. And to signify this covenant, this deepened relationship with God, Abram's name is changed and he becomes Abraham. And his wife Sarai becomes Sarah. With this change of name, they enter into a new relationship with God. They will be the ancestors of a vast people, a people who are God's covenant people, God's chosen people. In making covenant, God claims Abraham and his descendants forever as God's people. They're called to faithfully go where God leads them, to walk in God's ways. And in return, God promises to watch over and to care for the people, to protect them, to provide what they need, to make them a great people of many generations. Now, walking in God's ways, going where God calls, is not always clear and simple. And we see this in the account of Abraham and Sarah. Earlier in the book of Genesis, God calls Abraham to set out, to go to an unknown land. God doesn't say where Abraham is going, how long it will take to get there, what the route will be, when he will arrive. God just says, go. God does promise to be with Abraham and Sarah in their travels. God also promises Abraham that he will be a father of a great people with descendants as numerous as the stars. God promises Abraham will be the ancestor of many people, despite the fact he is old. And if you caught this in the letter to the Hebrews today, we're bluntly told his body was already as good as dead. Sarah also is old, and thus far they have been unable to have children. Throughout this journey, there are times that Abraham doubts God's promise can be fulfilled. But what does Abraham do? Abraham asks God, how will this come to pass? And somehow in the midst of the all that is unknown, in the midst of the uncertainty, even in those moments of doubting God's promises will be realized, the thing that Abraham does is to continue in faith. He keeps going. He keeps following God. As Hebrews also tells us, no distrust made Abraham waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what God had promised. And so though both at one moment Abraham and Sarah laugh at this outlandish promise that they will have a child, that they will have many descendants, though there are times they wonder how in the world God will accomplish this, they continue on in God's ways. They remain faithful to God's covenant. Though they don't always understand, they carry on, discerning as best they can where God leads them. And in the end, God does indeed accomplish God's purposes. God does fulfill the promise. Sarah gives birth to a son, Isaac. And Abraham and Sarah are indeed the ancestors of a great people, stretching many generations. And they are indeed our own spiritual ancestors as followers of Jesus. It seems to me the story of Abraham and Sarah offers some important things for us who live in this time. It's not any clearer for us sometimes where God is calling us, how we are to follow God. And we certainly live in a time of uncertainty, maybe feeling we are in an alien and foreign land. It's true that our nation is dangerously polarized and divided. Too many people struggle financially, don't have enough food. White supremacy and racist policies are glaringly and sometimes violently obvious. And I think Abraham and Sarah can show us how to live in a time like this. They offer that example of faithfully listening for God, faithfully trusting that God cares for us, provides for us, that God is present with us even in those times of challenge and uncertainty. God's covenant, as Abraham and Sarah experienced, is indeed trustworthy and true. God will never abandon us. Though we may doubt that God will do what God promises, God will be faithful. And if, like Abraham, we express our questions, our wonderings, even our doubts, our worries, God is there to hear us, to answer us, to give us what we need to be sustained in the moment. And so Abraham and Sarah show us how to be God's covenant people, to accept God's invitation to be God's holy people, to faithfully walk in God's ways wherever God leads. Though we may not see clearly where God is calling us, though we may have questions, even doubts about our strength and ability to embrace the call of God, to enter into the unknown, God promises to be with us, to support us, to guide us, to give us what we need to answer God's call. And at the last, God will indeed bring us to that land of promise, to that place where life with God is abundant and more than we can ask or imagine. To get there requires putting our whole trust in God, to surrender our lives, our wills, our hearts, our minds over to God. As followers of Jesus, we live according to a higher sovereignty, the authority and sovereignty of God. And many of the values and morals and practices of this world are not in line with living as a disciple of Jesus. And the ways of the world can be tempting. They have power. They can even be seductive. And we can give in to them and respond to them. And the danger is that over time, those things can lead us away from God's call to holy living. Those promises of the world can lure us away from God. But we have the season of Lent, thanks be to God. This season where we are called to take stock of our lives and how we are living. This season that invites us to reorder our priorities, our practices, and focus more on God. In today's gospel, Jesus calls us to live with God at the very center of our lives, to deny what the world has to offer, to follow him. His way is that of self-giving love. It is the way of the cross. Jesus says in our gospel today, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? There's a paradox here. There's a paradox in this Christian call of how we find life that is true and abundant, and it is by giving our lives up, by letting go of what society calls good living. It is by letting go of those ways that we find the divine life of God. This is a path that focuses on Jesus, on walking with him wherever he leads us. Now, this passage has had many interpretations through the years, and one of them is an interpretation that has become very privatized, individualized, spiritualized. An interpretation of this passage that says those personal trials and burdens we bear, are our own individual crosses to carry. But don't worry, it'll get better at the last when we go to heaven. I don't think that's what this passage is saying. And also, that interpretation is dangerous, particularly for people at the margins of our society. For women, for black and brown and people of color, for LGBTQ people. Too many times people at the margins have been told, I know it's hard now, but just sacrifice. It'll get better. Carry your cross for now. Endure the way things are. That's an interpretation that supports the injustices of our world, that allows oppressive status quo, both in church and society, to continue. And I don't think that's the call of Jesus. Jesus calls his disciples to turn our lives over to God to find life, to have no allegiance greater than our love of God and our love of our neighbor as ourselves. Walking the way of the cross never diminishes our personhood. It does not tolerate unjust or oppressive relationships. Following Jesus leads us into wholeness, to our full identity in Christ, to the full personhood God calls us to live, to the fullness of life that God intends for us as beloved children of God. Giving our hearts and our lives over to Jesus, walking the way of the cross, is in fact the way of making no peace with the unjust ways of this world. This is a road with no room for injustice or violence or greed. It rejects the individualism of our age, that urge to put ourselves first at the expense of others. This is the way that makes no peace with abusive or oppressive relationships. The cross liberates us from the death-wielding, life-denying tyrannies of this world. Jesus, in fact, comes to set us free. Set us free from everything that alienates us and diminishes the full stature of our humanity. Through the power of the cross, all suffering and loss is also given meaning. Jesus is present with us in our pain, in our grief. Jesus is with all who experience oppression, injustice. Having suffered his own passion, he knows what it is to suffer pain, rejection, even death. And Jesus stands in solidarity with all who suffer and promises to sustain everyone in their trials. And so Jesus calls us to follow him, to live like him, to fight injustice, to care for those in need, to comfort those who suffer and mourn. We are called to give up ourselves in loving service of others in God's name. This is the way we are called to walk. This is the way of Jesus. It is the way of love. And so in this Lent, may we dare to set out into the unknown, just as Abraham and Sarah did, trusting that God goes with us, that Jesus walks before us, that Jesus leads us and sustains us by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in each of us and gives us all we need for this journey. As beloved children of God, let us say yes to following Jesus, even in the way of the cross, that paradoxical way, that road of self-denial that leads to full, abundant life with God. And may we listen for God's call, trusting God's covenant promises, placing our whole trust in God who will deliver us. And may we accept the call of this Lent, the journey of these days, so that we may come to the joy of Easter and the promise of resurrection life. Amen.